It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The workforce employed by Johnstown Steel Mills once numbered 21,000. Today, that number is the population living within the city limits. The loss of residents has had an impact on the city's churches, resulting in some having to close their doors. Finding a new use for these buildings has become the mission for members of the community. Here to tell us about the Steeples Project are Dave Hurst, project manager for the Steeples Project, and Teresa Stoughton-Marafino, president of 1901 Church Incorporated, a nonprofit formed to save the churches. Dave and Teresa, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Teresa, tell us how the Steeples Project was started.
Well, actually, way back in 2001, I saved a church in Jennerstown, but put that aside for a moment. And then the Steeples Project came out of the movement after the five Catholic churches here in Cambria City, three of them were closed and they were just two were left open, that the people that used to go to them formed what we call now the Friends of the Steeple Project, but just a group that just started fundraising on the street, asking for money, selling t-shirts and so forth in order to do something. And then there's been a whole movement in Cambria City through the Johnstown Heritage Historical Association to do something about Cambria City and have it revive. And so they sponsored some charrettes. And then it was Dave's idea for all of this. So maybe he should explain a little bit more about the beginning.
Well, Dave, you had a specific vision for one of the churches. What did you want to see happen?
My original idea was that we would take one of the former churches and convert it into a theater for dramatic arts, and then use that as the venue to stage a historical drama on Johnstown's immigrant experience, which to a large degree is the experience of the entire East Coast of the United States. So it's a story with some very broad roots and ramifications to it. So that was the original idea. I took that idea to the charrette that Teresa alluded to, received some positive feedback on that, but a couple of people who I respected raised one obvious point. They said, you don't have any theater background. I said, you got a point there. So they also said, why don't you talk to Teresa Marafino, because she does have deep theater background. What we didn't know at the time was that Teresa also had this passion for saving churches, and she also had a private not-for-profit corporation that we could use as a vehicle.
And this is a big undertaking for any city facing economic challenges. Was the community in line with your vision for saving these churches?
The community emotionally was very much in line, very much supportive of what we were trying to do. The reaction universally was, oh, thank goodness you're saving these churches. And what I instantly and always and repeatedly have pointed out to people when they've made that kind of a comment to me is I said, we really haven't saved any churches yet. That's only going to happen when these buildings have been placed into some kind of self-sustaining reuse where they can earn their own keep.
But obviously, this struck a chord with people. There was no doubt some distress in the community among people who didn't want to see such an important part of Johnstown's heritage, as well as something that's so aesthetically pleasing, go away.
Absolutely. I was here the day they took the Statue Mary off the front of this building, and it was very traumatic for everybody. And that's just a small sample of the urge of the community to do something with these buildings so they don't fall into decay and ultimately disappear.
Describe the building that we're in, Teresa.
Well, it used to be called the Church of the Immaculate Conception. It was the German Roman Catholic Church here in Cambria City. And it actually was the second church they had. They used to have a church across the street that was called St. Mary's. And then this was their newer church, built over 100 years ago. And so there is a German feel to it. And when you come in, you just look up and you see what they have, the representation of heaven, because they use light blue all over the building and have a darker, slightly darker blue up above with stars in it.
There's also an amazing organ that is one of only 12 in the entire world.
As nearly as we can determine that, yes. The organ was created by a company, essentially a one-man company in Baltimore, Maryland, the Adam Stein Pipe Organ Company. The organ itself was built in 1900, and it has graced this hall. Actually, the organ predated the hall. It was initially across the street, and we feel that to a significant degree, the architect designed the church around the organ. And as you look at that, you can readily believe that because it fits in here absolutely beautifully. A couple of other notes for those who are interested in architecture. The architecture of this building is Victorian Gothic. The exterior is yellow brick, and it's accented with brownstone. The interior is Gothic with a lot of soaring arches in it.
And from money to repairs and upkeep, what have been the biggest challenges in the steeples project that you've encountered when it comes to saving these churches?
Money and repairs and maintenance. The biggest challenge is raising the operating support. These buildings obviously are expensive to maintain and expensive to keep standing. Just the heat. This building is a real challenge every year, especially with the antiquated heating system that we have in here. I do have to say, though, that the community has been heartwarming in its support. We have generated, so far since the beginning of 2012, which is when we launched the Steeples Project, we've generated about $330,000 total in support of this project. Now, that's everything. That's pledges and donations and contributions and grants and some earned revenue as well. But the very interesting thing to me is that the support has been very evenly distributed. The largest part of our support has come from the business community, roughly about $80,000+ that we've received so far in contributions from the business community. But individuals are very close behind that. The last I looked, they were a little bit above $70,000 in contributions from individuals. And then foundations and grants have supplemented the rest of this.
Let me point out that originally we were just going to save the Irish Church, St. Columba, to put the theatrical presentation in. And then one day the diocese called David and said, will you take all three, which is Immaculate Conception, which we're in right now, and then St. Casimir's, which is a few blocks away. And Dave calls me and says, I don't know, what do we say? And I say, well, why not? Why not take all three and then figure out, because they had a bargain price, you know, figure out then how we would save them. And the reason we've concentrated on Immaculate Conception to make it the Grand Hall was it was the one that we could have in operation as quickly as possible so people could see that their money was being effective immediately.
And why are these churches being closed at such a rapid rate, or at least falling into disuse with the diocese?
Well, obviously that's a question that really needs to go to the diocese. From what I've heard, talking to the former parishioners of these buildings, to some degree, there's been a drop-off of families attending these. As you alluded in the introduction to this broadcast, the population drain from Johnstown has been dramatic over the last 30 years. However, these parishes all, as I understand it, remained relatively healthy, attendance-wise and financially. What I'm told is that basically it was really more of a problem of not having enough priests to cover five parishes in a 30-square-block area.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're in Johnstown discussing the Steeples Project, a campaign to turn former ethnic churches into new venues, with Dave Hurst, project manager for the Steeples Project, and Teresa Stoughton Marafino, president of 1901 Church Incorporated, a nonprofit formed to save the churches. How has the reimagining of these venues been helping the region?
Well, giving the example of the Grand Hall, because there are a lot of events in here, and currently that means mostly weddings, receptions, it has benefited all the businesses that have to do the weddings. So there are caterers, there are florists, there are wedding planners that have all benefited from it, that if the venue wasn't here, it wouldn't happen. But it also brings a vitality. Broad Street, which is the street that runs in front of it, is the busiest street in Cambria County.
And this is like Church Row here.
Right, exactly. And so to see the buildings not just slowly fall in decay, everybody's uplifted when they come down Broad Street and they say the yellow brick building and there's a sign on it saying we're going to try to save this, help us save it. And it's just wonderful. And Cambria City is having a revival down the street. We now have artworks down the street. So there's two galleries down the street, for example. And I think Dave wants to add to this. Do you?
Yes, I was going to actually add some of the cultural contributions that we feel the Grand Hall is bringing to the neighborhood, which really is, as a whole, an emerging cultural district. But the Grand Hall, in addition to serving as a private rental space venue, also is a very active music hall. We have ongoing music series that are scheduled throughout the calendar year, at least one a month, oftentimes more than that. And so this has become a brand new live music venue for the community. And in particular, it's become an interesting venue that way because it tends to promote and produce classical concerts, semi-classical, occasionally some sacred music. Not that this isn't being performed elsewhere in the community, but not perhaps on as wholesale a basis as some of the other genres of music are. So we feel like we're filling an important niche that way. And we've also been able to fill a significant niche in terms of some special events. Last year, during the 125th anniversary of the commemoration of the 1889 flood, we showed an original Hollywood movie that was produced in 1927 called The Johnstown Flood in this hall, and drew a capacity crowd for that. We had a 9-piece chamber orchestra that illustrated that, and it was just tremendously well received. Relatively recently, earlier this summer, we had a touring Slovak children's choir that performed here, and it was just a tremendous show. So what we're finding is that this venue has a lot of flexibility to it and can make a real meaningful contribution culturally to the community as well.
And the at least two concerts we've been able to do with the Adam Stein organ have just been really special.
Either of you can answer this, but could this church or other churches like it conceivably be a great venue for recording music?
That's a good question. We've talked about that. We've had a couple of ensembles in here, specifically a woodwind ensemble, the Pennsylvania Woodwinds, which is comprised of the music faculty of Pennsylvania State University. We've also had brass quintets in here, and they sound spectacular. And we're thinking, maybe this is a possible niche for us. We haven't been able to pursue that, but it's certainly something that we've been discussing.
While a lot has been accomplished with regard to saving these houses of worship, what remains to be done, Dave?
Okay, well, one thing I should correct is that we aren't saving houses of worship. All three of these buildings were essentially desanctified. I'm not sure that's the exact Catholic term for this, but essentially they were taken out of service and they are no longer houses of worship in the eyes of the Catholic Church.
But that's how people see them, don't they? I mean, that's the part of the urgency for wanting to save these places is because of what they've represented, right? The spirituality of the community.
Yes, and you have put your finger on a very delicate line that we have to tread, because on the one hand, absolutely, people bring an enormous amount of emotional attachment to these buildings. They invested a good bit of their lives here. They had some of the most significant events of their lives happen here, from baptisms to weddings to burials. We don't want to discourage that. It's certainly part of what we're trying to do is to save these memories along with these buildings. But we try to tell people these are no longer houses of worship, and there's a very practical reason for that. People have a very strict, sometimes, set of standards and ideas of what is appropriate to happen within a house of worship. And not that we're doing anything that's inappropriate here, certainly in terms of cultural norms, but there are things that we do in here that perhaps, some people don't like dancing, for example, and certainly dancing can take place in here. So that's just one example of the line that we're trying to tread on this.
This is more an approach to solving an architectural challenge as opposed to something having to do or related to the church.
Absolutely, because even in the deed, there was restrictions that no Catholic liturgy can take place in these buildings for now 48 years, but it was 50 years when we signed the deed. So there were three deed restrictions, and that was one of them. The church was very serious that suddenly a group wouldn't form and have Catholic liturgy in here. So they were behind them becoming something else as well. So it is an architectural need that the great buildings in this 30-block area don't disappear.
We're hearing work going on as we speak. Did you have any idea it was going to be this complicated?
No. maybe Teresa did. I had no idea what I was getting into at the beginning of this, and yet it's been a fascinating experience. You did ask what's remaining to be done, and the short answer to that is a tremendous amount. This building, we have been able to address all of the immediate needs of this building. This building is now fully accessible. It's up to code in terms of building safety standards and also accessibility standards. So we have the immediate needs done, but we have long-term needs for this building that are going to keep me sleepless at night for years to come. We have a brownstone that needs to be stabilized. We have a roof that needs to be, it's a slate roof, and it's nearing the end of its life, so we have to figure out what to do with that. We have painting that needs to be done exteriorly as well as interiorly. So we have those kinds of needs that have to happen here at the Grand Hall. Columba, the other of our buildings that we now own, is vacant, and that's where we're shifting our time and attention now. Columba, of course, is the building that we had that brought us into this project to begin with, the one that we have the vision for the theater and for the Johnstown Immigrant Drama Project. It's been sitting vacant now for 6 years and is showing the effects of that. So we're shifting now to that building and trying to do what we can to make sure that we stabilize it before the deterioration goes too far there, and then also get started on what's obviously going to be a multi-million dollar project.
Any final thoughts, Teresa?
Well, we are right now very happy that we've got this building up and running. It has a revenue stream, and it can go as a rental unit, because Dave and I, our original project was St. Columba and getting the theatrical presentation going, and now we're like, okay, now we can start on that. But it's going to be, I see it being a decade-long project till we have the first production there. I hope it's not that long, but I can see that it would be, and I'm realistic about that, because it's going to be some heavy lifting. But the support we've gotten so far from the community, I really do believe it will happen.
Teresa Stoughton Marafino is president of 1901 Churches Incorporated, a nonprofit formed to save the churches, and Dave Hurst is project manager of the Steeples Project. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us about the Steeples Project. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of the program or would like to revisit past segments, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.